Chapter 15, Breakthrough. True love asks no questions, makes no reservations, but puts itself unconditionally into the hands of the loved one. Paula Marshall soon, Hassan and Klaus returned to the table. Edouard kept his distance from Hassan but, at the same time, he had a close eye on him. He appeared to be upset. Hassan noticed his behavior and asked Edouard, "You didn't like the food?" He looked over at Hassan and told him that everything was fine. Laughing, Charlie punched Edouard under the table. "I'm sorry," she said, "he's a little cranky in the morning and on weekends." Before Hassan had a chance to respond, his phone started ringing, so he excused himself. "What are you doing?" Charlie asked Edouard. "I am sticking to our plan," Edouard replied calmly. "We finally found a good guy who treats us well, and you decided to stick to our plan? Do you want Dad to find another Jeffrey?" Charlie confronted him. "I don't want anyone to take my mother's place," Edouard said, now seeming a little sad. "No one ever will take Mom's place. Did you notice how he treated us? Or the way Dad smiled? Have you ever seen him smiling like that?" "Let him be happy," Charlie assured Edouard. "Shoo. He is coming." Adrian tried to keep everyone quiet. "Why is everyone silent?" asked an intrigued Klaus, who tried to probe into the matter. "Will you see Hassan again?" Charlie diverted Klaus' attention. "I don't know, but I would like to." "Good, I want to be able to come here from time to time. I will also tell my friends about this place." Charlie beamed with excitement. "All you are thinking about is food. Give it a rest." Edouard made a rather futile attempt to stop Charlie from excessive eating. "Get pregnant, and you will know," Charlie retorted. Edouard was opened his mouth to answer her, but right that moment, Hassan joined them back at the table. "Here is what you asked for," Hassan handed Charlie the ice cream. "You are an angel." "Thank you." "My pleasure. Anyone has a special request?" "Can I get ice cream?" Adrian requested. "Yes, you can." "What about you, Edouard?" Klaus asked. "Ice cream is fine," Edouard said. "What about you, Maria?" Hassan asked. "I just want a coffee if it is possible." "Ice cream and coffee coming right away." Hassan got back up to notify the kitchen staff. Klaus walked with Hassan and said, "You asked everyone, but you didn't ask me." Hassan stopped, looked at Klaus biting his lip, and replied, "I have a different plan for you." He whispered in Klaus' ears. And they both laughed. Klaus watched him walk away with a smile on his face. Once everyone was done, Klaus took the kids and returned home. On the way home, he asked them, "What do you think about Hassan?"
"I love him.
He is super nice," said Adrian. "He is different from anyone you have dated," Charlie approved of him.
"What about you, Edouard?"
Klaus asked him as he hadn't spoken a word since they got in the car. "Did you pick him up from a bar or a street?" Edouard asked. Klaus clenched his teeth and hit the steering wheel with his hand. By the time they reached home, Klaus' mood had changed. He walked straight into his office and locked himself in. Charlie, who could see the disappointment in her father's demeanor, turned to Edouard, giving him a stern look.
"What?"
"Nice job," Charlie said sarcastically.
"I did nothing wrong," Edouard couldn't see what he had done wrong.
"When you will understand that Mom is gone.
He is lonely.
We are what he is left with. He finally found someone different from everyone he has dated and makes him happy.
Stop ruining everything.
For our sake, please stop. Don't you see we are already a broken family?" Tears started to form in her eyes. Hearing this, Edouard ran to his room to hide. He picked up his mother's picture from the nightstand and held it in his arms. He fell on the bed and began to cry. Adrian looked at Maria and asked her, "Why can't we just be a happy family?" Maria hugged Adrian and told him, "It is a matter of time." As Hassan returned home and opened the door,
everyone turned their attention to him. "Good afternoon," Hassan said as he removed his shoes and entered the living room. Everyone bamboozled Hassan with their questions about Klaus.
"Did you have sex last night?" Andrew asked instantly.
"Who is he?"
Ethan jumped in too.
"Tell us every detail," Kara was interested in the story too.
"I thought you were not into one-night stands," John said in doubt.
"Come on, say something," Kyle insisted.
"Yes, please," Pete seconded Kyle.
Hassan walked to the couch, sat down, and turned on the television.
"You won't say a word," Andrew told Hassan.
"Do you remember the time when we went together to the shopping center and a nice lady spilled hot coffee on my shirt?"
Hassan laughed and started talking.
"Yes, but how is that related?"
Andrew seemed confused.
"The guy I went with last night was Nicholas."
"Who is Nicholas?"
"No way," Andrew was in denial.
"Yup, I slept with Nicholas," Hassan tried to clear the doubts.
"Who is Nicholas?"
"A guy that the nice lady works for.
Remember who spilled the hot coffee on Hassan's shirt months ago?
That lady wished that Hassan and Nicholas should see each other at that time, and now her wish came true," Andrew narrated the story quickly.
"Whatever, talking encyclopedia," Kyle did not acquiesce at all.
"Sorry, who is Nicholas?"
Ethan still could not fathom what Andrew had said.
"The guy who Hassan slept with," John verified the story.
"Is he French?"
Kara further inquired.
"Yes, as a matter of fact, he is," Hassan nodded.
"Isn't he old?"
John asked, sounding a little jealous.
"I dated you, and you are older than me," Hassan told John.
"Dating someone older than me is the best thing that has happened to me," Pete said.
"Age is just a number, and 11 years are not that a big deal.
Anyway, it was nice,"
Hassan said.
"Good for you," said Andrew.
"I need to take a shower because I feel dirty," Hassan excused himself from everyone.
"Oh, Daddy, can't get enough of that honey."
Andrew's head was hit with a pillow thrown by Kara. Afterward, Hassan went to his room to shower and change. Hassan checked his phone after getting out of the shower. He had received a message from Klaus that said, "Can I speak with you?" Hassan called right away and he answered.
"Hey, are you okay?"
Hassan asked, worried.
"Can I come to your house?"
Klaus asked without answering his question.
"Are you crying?"
Hassan asked again.
"I was."
"What happened?"
"Can I come to your place and talk?"
Klaus insisted.
"I will send you the address."
Hassan quickly dressed and went downstairs. Andrew saw coming down the stairs in a rush and asked him, "Are you all right?"
"Klaus is on his way.
He wants to talk,"
Hassan told him.
"Who is Klaus?"
"Oh, Klaus.
Daddy can't get enough?" Andrew said with a suggestive smile.
"He was crying," Hassan said.
"You are that good?"
Andrew continued teasing Hassan.
"I am serious.
If he wants to talk, then talk to him.
I don't see a problem," Andrew said, now in a serious yet comforting tone.
"I am worried if John saw him,"
Hassan expressed his concern.
"I see your point, but he has to get used to this kind of situation," Andrew assured him.
"Okay." Klaus arrived at the house and entered. Everyone was keeping an eye on him.
"He is handsome," Pete complimented Klaus.
"I am here," Ethan interrupted Pete. "I think that means I have to keep my mouth shut."
"You are the most handsome man ever," Pete whispered.
"Does Hassan date only tall people?"
This was Andrew.
"He looks nice," Kara said.
"I agree," John agreed with Kara.
"Nice job, Hassan."
"He is yummy," Andrew teased Hassan again.
Hassan took Klaus to his room to talk.
"Sorry about my friend staring at you.
You wanted to talk,"
Hassan said.
"You said I have to get involved in my kid's life."
Klaus started to speak.
Yes, I did. I don't know how to get involved in their life. It seems like they have built a wall that I can't break through. I feel the space between us growing deeper and much darker every day. I am hopeless and can't do anything," Klaus burst out in tears. "No one knows how to do it. It is not easy. But you can start by becoming their friend and then take it from there," Hassan tried to convince Klaus. "Can you please help me? Why do you think I can help you?" Hassan asked him. "What you did today with Charlie, I would never be able to do it. You are a family person, and I can't feel I have a family." "Don't say that. If you need my help, I need to know how you drifted apart from your family. What happened?" "I think it all happened when I was in a relationship with a man named Jeffrey. He didn't like my kids, and I was blindly in love with him. I hurt them deeply in a way they couldn't forgive me. He destroyed my family and shattered me into tiny pieces. I tried to pick up those pieces as much as I could and put them back together. These pieces of me were forgotten by time, and I lost myself. I don't want to lose them again. I am not a bad person," Klaus could not stop crying. Hassan hugged Klaus and said, "You are not a bad person. You are a father who is trying to do everything he could to get his family back. To be honest, I can't help you, but I can tell you what you have to do." "I am listening," Klaus said, wiping his tears. Hassan told Klaus so many things that he could do to earn back his children's respect and walked him through the process of getting his family together again. Klaus was paying close attention to every word Hassan was saying. He looked at Hassan and asked him a question when he stopped. "How do you know these things?" "I am too many things, don't underestimate me," Hassan said obnoxiously in an effort to cheer Klaus up. "You asked me things. It only can work for every one of my kids separately. How could you ever think like this if you are not a parent? I learned everything from my parents." It was clear to Klaus that Hassan was in pain when he spoke of his parents and that his eyes were wet. In his arms, he cradled him. "Can I ask you where you are from? I still cannot recognize the accent you have." "I was born in Iraq. My father is an Iraqi, but my mother is Turkish. It is fun to look at your face in the morning and see those eyes. It's the best way to wake up." Klaus changed the topic to ease up Hassan's mood. Hassan whispered in Klaus's ear, asking him to continue talking about anything and everything. He slowly walked to the door and suddenly opened it to find Andrew standing on his tiptoes. Others looked embarrassed when Andrew fell to the ground. Hassan asked, "Can I be of assistance to you?" And they all left immediately, without saying a word. It was nice to see Hassan and Klaus laughing together, and Klaus said, "You are mean." Hassan said with a smile, "I know. They all love you. They are the only family I have," Hassan said with a smile. "The one with sad eyes is your ex-boyfriend, right?" Klaus asked him. "Yes, how did you know?" Hassan was surprised at his guess. "The way he looked to you and me. I want to ask you something."
"Sure.
Since you told me you have been with two guys, I suppose you got it from your boyfriend. My question is, how on earth did a person like you got cheated by his boyfriend?" "Long story short, he is of a very jealous kind. One day I got sick, and someone took advantage of me while I was under medication. He took photos and sent them to him. He couldn't tell me, so he started sleeping around." Hassan could not hold on to his tears while sharing his side of the story. "I wish I'd met you instead of meeting Jeffrey. At least my life would be different now."
"That's not even possible," Hassan said.
"How?
You met Jeffrey even before I came to Canada."
"I said I wish," Klaus said, rolling his eyes at him.
"Okay. What did your friend say about me?"
Klaus asked.
"Well, they call you Daddy," Hassan replied quickly.
"Am I that old?"
Klaus said with concern in his voice.
"I can't even call you that.
Someone promised me a treat."
Klaus remembered their conversation from the restaurant.
I did not. Hassan quickly retaliated. Klaus dragged Hassan to lay down on the bed next to him.
I have a very long day tomorrow, Hassan said.
Why is that?
I declared in front of the whole company that I am living with HIV.
I hope that won't be an issue, Klaus assured him.
We will see about that tomorrow.
Klaus embraced Hassan and closed his eyes for a few moments before returning to his house. After seeing Klaus off, Hassan went around the house looking for his friends. He heard voices coming from the basement, so he headed there. He opened the door and saw them huddled together. John was the only one who wasn't laughing. Andrew looked up at John and placed a finger on his hand. John was surprised.
He's moved on, said John.
Stop looking at the past, hold yourself, move on, and don't ever look back, Andrew told him.
I don't know how.
You will find the right person, but don't make the same mistake again, Andrew assured him.
A tear fell out of his eye.
It's okay, Andrew said as he put John's head on his chest, you should let it go now. John and Kara sat side by side, and she held his hand. On the floor, Ethan leaned against John's legs and placed his hands on them. Archie sat on John's lap, while Kyle sat next to Kara and Pete sat next to Kyle. It was then John blinked his eyes open, embraced Archie, and kissed him. John smiled when Archie licked his face. The next day, John and Andrew left for work together in the morning. John bought 2 cups of coffee at the coffee shop on the way. John ignored the barista's smile, like he always did, and continued to ignore him. In the meantime, John sipped his coffee and chatted with Andrew in the yard. As John was sipping on his coffee, Andrew asked him, "Who is Carlos?" While looking at the cup, "Why?" asked Andrew. Instead of replying, Andrew showed him his cup.
"It seems someone has a crush on you," Andrew said.
"Do you know him?"
John asked.
"I think he is the barista guy. He wrote his number on the cup, why don't you call him sometime?" Andrew suggested.
"I can't do that."
"Why not?"
"I will have a look at him through the glass.
Just tell me which one he is," Andrew said to John. Seeing Carlos, John and Andrew drew near the window.
"Wow, you should hit that.
He is like 21 years old," John settled back in his seat.
"Daddy has an issue with that?
He is an adult," Andrew teased him.
"I am living with HIV,"
he reminded Andrew.
"You are like a broken record.
Maybe he is open-minded.
It's worth a try.
Give me your phone," Andrew said excitedly.
"What are you doing?"
"Open your phone and give it to me," he insisted. John handed Andrew his phone after he opened it and dialed Carlos' number for him. Carlos politely responded.
"Hey, Carlos.
I am John. You wrote your number on my coffee cup. I am wondering if you would like to grab a drink with me," Andrew said to him without giving John a chance to understand what was going on.
"Hey, John. I would love to," Carlos said cheerfully.
"Great, you have my number. Give me a call when you are ready.
I have to go now.
See you.
See you."
Andrew ended the call and turned to John to discuss Carlos' situation. John's phone call had made Carlos happy. John thanked Andrew for saving Carlos's number, who returned the phone to him. When Andrew saw John, he said, "Don't screw it up or I'll kick you in the back." Meanwhile, Tristan was asking around in the office, "Have you seen Hassan since he arrived at work?
He had to finish some documents before noon."
Hassan was working at his desk when Tristan passed by. He walked up to the corkboard and smiled as he did so. Took a picture of himself with Hassan and went to his desk to talk to his co-workers. Hassan was photographed by all of them. They pinned the photo to the corkboard and left it there. Klaus called Hassan to see how he was doing at work. Hassan decided to take a walk as he talked on the phone. His attention was drawn to the corkboard, which he passed before stopping. He told Klaus he would call him back shortly.
Seeing the contents of the board, tears started streaming down Hassan's face. He walked up to the corkboard and stood there for a while. He was unable to speak a word. He snapped a picture of the corkboard with his phone and put it in his pocket. He then walked away. Putting his arm around Hassan, Tristan said, "Everyone loves you. You're a good person." "Thanks," said Hassan, he said as he looked at the corkboard. Then Hassan went back to his desk. Klaus received the picture from him. Klaus smirked as he saw the picture in front of him. His text message to Hassan read, "This is a good day for you." Carlos sent John a text message asking, "What about 5 p.m?" John texted back, "Sounds good. You can meet me outside the coffee shop." To this, he replied, "I'll be on time." Although John was apprehensive about meeting Carlos, the meeting was necessary for him to move forward. It was 5 p.m. The two met up and decided to go for a walk. "Finally, you and I on a date," Carlos said happily. "What do you mean by finally?" John was confused. "I have been hitting on you for months," Carlos opened up. "Oh." John finally realized it. "So, here we are. Carlos, I am sure you are a nice guy. But I am not sure if I am good for you." John decided to talk to him openly. "If you are talking about age, I don't mind," Carlos assured him. "I am living with HIV," John told him. "I see. Are you taking your treatment?" Carlos didn't seem fazed by it. "Every single day. If you are HIV plus and taking treatment and maintain an undetectable viral load, you can have sex knowing that you won't pass HIV to your sex partner. In short, when HIV is undetectable, it's untransmittable. I am studying biochemistry. It's not a reason to prevent yourself from having a normal life," Carlos assured John. "You are telling me that you are okay with it. Oh, my God. I spent the last few hours freaking out," John said, sounding relieved. "No need. Now can I get my kiss?" Carlos asked him. John smiled and kissed Carlos on the cheek. Carlos smiled at John before saying, "Where are we going?" "Are you hungry?" John asked. "Starving. Pick a restaurant," Carlos said, "I'll take you to one of my favorite restaurants." As they walked, John smiled and joined him. As dinner time approached, everyone at home gathered around the dining table to enjoy the meal. Except for John, everyone was present. "Where is John?" Hassan asked. "He is on a date." It was Andrew who answered. "Really?" Kara was surprised. "Anyone we know?" Ethan joined in. "With a hot Latino. Daddy needs to hit that town, you know what I mean." Andrew disclosed everything. "We all know what you mean, but I don't think John will do it on the first date," Ethan said. "Oh. So now that will be Hassan's thing?" "Interesting," Andrew said to tease Hassan. "I am still here." Hassan glared at him. "Hassan, you owe us details," Kyle insisted. "We are dying to know." Pete partnered up with Kyle. "It seems he is into you." Ethan also shared his opinion. "We met, and it was probably a one-night thing. It was just nice," Hassan said. "A one-night thing? You spent the whole night and the next morning with him, and then he came here, and you are telling us it was a one-time thing?" Andrew asked. Hassan put his phone next to him on the table. At that moment, he received a text from Klaus. "So, you won't see him again?" Ethan asked. "I will see him next Friday night. He just texted me," Hassan said with a smile. "What? Are you trying to fool us? You are into him." Andrew caught Hassan's lie. "I don't know why, but I feel I know him, and my body knows him. I didn't want to resist him." Hassan finally shared his feelings. "Poor child, one night with him,
and you are falling for him. Andrew just won't stop teasing Hassan. What do you think? I have been with two guys in my entire life, and someone made my whole world crumbling under my feet. Now I just got back on my feet, and I feel lost again. I just don't know what to do. Hassan started crying. We know you have dealt with a lot of things, but we are all here for you. Kara showed her support to Hassan. Do you know how many people love you, how many are willing to support you? Even if you are lost, you will always find your way. Did you see what they did today at the company? Ethan asked Hassan. I did. What did they do? Andrew asked. Ask Hassan, Ethan told Andrew. Andrew received a picture of the corkboard from Hassan on his phone. Kara took the phone from Andrew to take a look. Almost everyone looked at the image. Hassan was greeted with a smile and a look of admiration. Now we need details, Kara said. Do you want the long version? Hassan asked. Everything, but skip the sex part. Okay. Then Hassan began to describe Klaus and what transpired that night and the next day. Everyone was eating and listening at the same time, and it was quite entertaining. The group laughed as usual when Andrew made a series of funny remarks. After dinner, John had returned from his date. He was excited and happy. Everyone sat in front of the television and watched their favorite show. John stood in front of them, beaming with pride. Hassan turned off the TV. He was tired of watching it. Someone is happy. Andrew broke the ice. My date was great, John said excitedly. Yes, we can see that. And we are happy for you. Hassan said. Did you talk to him about your fear? Andrew asked. I did. He was very understanding. He is more like. More like what? Kara interrupted. More like Hassan. John sighed while replying. Is that kind of insult? Or what? Pete asked as he was confused. He is very spontaneous, full of life, and tasty, John replied, laughing at his question. You mean, you found another Hassan? Andrew asked. What he is trying to say is that he is his type, Hassan explained to Andrew. Thank you, John said to Andrew. You are welcome. Now you owe me a boyfriend. Andrew replied to John. You are mean, Hassan said to Andrew. I know. Everyone in the room roared in laughter. Everything that had happened with Carlos was recounted by John. Hassan was happy for him. When Hassan's phone started ringing, the conversation was interrupted. He picked up the phone and went upstairs to answer it. Nicholas is calling. Hurry up, Andrew said to everyone. Hey there, Hassan said, picking up the call. Hi, how are you doing? Klaus asked. I am doing great, thanks. What about you? I am doing good. I did what you told me to do. Now I am about to move to the next step. Good luck with it, Hassan said assuringly. Thank you. Did you get my message? Yes, I did. I am about to take a shower. I wish you were here. Daddy is hungry right now. Klaus teased him. Obviously. I have to go. I will text you the details. Klaus said goodbye to Hassan and went for a shower. Good night. Good night. Klaus smiled as he ended the call and put the phone on his chest. He found Edward was asleep in his bed when he entered Edward's room. As it turned out, Edward wasn't sleeping at all. He was pretending. Klaus sat beside him and began to speak. When it came to standing up for you, I was blinded by emotion. I'd like to go back in time, but it's not possible. I would do everything differently. I would choose you over anyone else and would never allow anyone to cause you harm. You're my child, and I adore you without reservation. Klaus kissed Edward and bid him good night. Edward wept after Klaus left the room and said,
I love you too, Dad. As Edward closed his eyes, he drifted off into a deep sleep. It took him some time to open his eyes, but eventually, he did and walked straight into his father's room, but Klaus wasn't there. As a result, he searched every room of the house for him but was unable to locate him. He entered a room with a water-covered floor. He took a single step and fell into a large pit. On the ground was a layer of water. During his wandering, he came across a book lying on a wooden chair. His eyes widened as he approached the chair, picked up the book, and began to read. In addition to pictures of him and his family, the book contained words written in a foreign language that he did not recognize. He studied the pictures and went through each page, examining it for a long time. It dawned on him that the pictures were a record of his memories. Jeffrey brought back many memories of his father for him. He became angry and tore the pages out of the book before throwing it on the ground and crying out in pain. He then found unlit matches in a matchbox lying on the chair. He picked it up, lit a matchstick, and threw it on the ground before putting it back down. Starting on the floor, the fire then moved up and onto the book. Along with everything else in that hole, the book began to burn. He turned around to find his father cuffed to a wooden pole with his hands and feet tied. His father was on fire when the flames reached the wooden pole. But no one could hear him as he screamed for help. "I wish you were here," he sobbed. As if on cue, the flames went out. Nothing was left when he looked around. He could see a shadow walking toward him. He knew it was his mother. He was unable to move or speak a single word. "Don't let your hatred blind you, my child. All that you have will be taken away from you because of hatred. As a result of hatred, your family will burn to the ground. You must give your father a chance to show you that he cares for you. Don't get in his way. I'll always be there for you," his mother said. As Edward closed his eyes, he wished to be awoken from his dream. Opening his eyes, he discovered that he was lying in his bed. It was then that he looked at his mother's picture, grabbed it, and held it near his heart as he fell asleep again. The next morning, Edward washed up and changed into his school uniform before heading off to school. He smiled as he went to the kitchen to prepare his breakfast.